Welcome to the UTG Voices, the monthly podcast from UTG where we speak to different contributors working behind the scenes to bring you the latest UTG content. In this episode, the first of 2026, we're going to spend time speaking to Alistair McPherson. So welcome, Alistair.
Good to be here, Josh.
It's great to have the chance for you and I to just sit down together and have a chat.
Yeah, it's nice to be on the other side of the chair.
maybe it is. So thank you for sitting down, having a chat with us. And we're going to be discussing different aspects of the UTG project today, looking ahead into 2026.
Yeah.
And maybe some of the content that we can expect from the different teams and the contributors as we go through the year, God willing. So join us on this episode as we get a deeper look into the work, the voices, and the content that are shaping UTG. So we've introduced you, Alistair. And we're glad to have this chat today. So I think to set up for today, what we should do first of all is have a little chat about what was your burden in setting up Understanding the Gospel. So we had a conversation with Stephen Grant, one of your co-founders, a few months ago, and he kind of laid out some of the premise of UTG for us. But for you personally, why did you have a burden to set up UTG?
Well, it's interesting. I suppose my initial thinking was I'd been in America, and I'd seen some of the stuff American Christians were doing with online, the media, and that kind of thing. And I thought, yeah, we need to be a little bit more on it. And then I also recognized that there's actually a lot of believers in assemblies and places that have lots of skills that are just being underutilized. So I thought, there's a little bit of a need to maybe try and work together with folks. And I know that Stephen Grant shared that burden, Graham Patterson did, Stephen Mullen did, and I think we were some of the first ones that met in that dark room in Glasgow some years ago. And yeah, the Lord's been really kind in who he's brought. And if I think now about the amount of people that are involved in the whole project and contributing in different ways, it's just such an encouragement and amazing what the Lord is doing. And also to think that many of us who contribute are in small churches and don't have the support of a huge tech department, but actually everybody doing a little bit means that the whole thing can work really well, which is the truth of the body.
Absolutely. And I think one of the other things that we should understand is, yes, the project is called Understanding the Gospel, and we have a real heart and a focus for sharing the gospel with people. But there is also an element of the project where we're simply communicating the truth of the Bible. So that's that's an evangelical purpose, but it's also a kind of teaching purpose as well.
Yeah. And obviously, it's obvious from the contributor page on UTG that all the people who are contributing are from an assembly background. So we have a shared conviction as to how to interpret the Bible. So, for instance, we're dispensational, we're conservative, we're evangelical, which probably makes us distinct as far as the Christian world is concerned. And sometimes there's the way that certain views are portrayed, like whether it's dispensationalism or whether it's our view of how the church should function or that, sometimes they can get caricatured in an unhelpful way. So I am particularly burdened about making sure that there is a robust biblical defense and promotion of what I think is truth found in Scripture that is actually for all Christians, not just people in the gospel hall, but all Christians, and they can be blessed and benefited by looking at the Bible in that way. And I'm not saying that I am perfect in everything I believe, but I want to learn, and I do have convictions which I think would be helpful if others had the same.
Yeah, and so UTG is a great platform for us to share what we believe is the true biblical pattern, model, teaching of the Scriptures. And so UTG is a platform for us to share that.
So the purpose of UTG has always been twofold. It's always been with about sharing the gospel for unbelievers, but it's always been about teaching the truth of the gospel for believers. So it's not something that developed from the project. It was already part of the DNA of the project from the beginning.
Yeah, great. And I think a lot of that content, that's born out in the content. And sometimes we draw these lines about what's for evangelism and what's for teaching, but the communication of the truth of the Bible should be beneficial for everybody, whether they're an unbeliever, that they might be saved, or whether they're already saved, and then it can be for their edification. And that's the communication of the word of God should do that.
Yeah, definitely.
So we wanted to come then, and before we look forward into this year of 2026, Alistair, what are some of your highlights of 2025 in terms of content from UTG?
I suppose there's an element of bias because I like the podcast.
Yeah, I'm the same. So if you came for impartiality, you might not get much.
No, and I really like, they're actually, yeah, again, I probably do really like the Ian Jackson series on the Holy Spirit. I think that not just because Ian's a fantastic communicator, but also because that content is so relevant. So many Christians, and even if they sometimes they're skeptical of charismatic stuff, they maybe wouldn't have a robust biblical understanding of why some of that's not as it ought to be. So I think unpacking that whole series was really good. The series that we also did with Keith Palmer on OCD, I found that really good to get that. And it's interesting how many people have come back about that particular series and said they appreciated that. So yeah, those again, entirely biased because it's two things which I did, but I thought that I liked that.
Yeah, well, I'll come straight back at you on the Ian Jackson series because that's a highlight for me as well. Not that I was involved in it in any way, but actually putting it into use in real life and in mission was a real highlight for me. Being on the mission field, we actually took that series and I listened to it with some new believers. And their background would have been in a church that preached a false gospel and had all sorts of ideas about the person and work of the Holy Spirit. But being able to go through that series that you and Ian did with a young believer, and then being able to pause it and have the conversations one-to-one as we went through it and have a real impact. And for somebody to say at the end, that really helped me. I understand so much better now. That was a highlight, to take something that a resource that UTG had produced and to actually put it into real life use was a real highlight for me. If I'm being a little bit selfish, I suppose I would speak about the series that we did about the gospel on the mission field.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I enjoyed a number of those episodes and I just got to chat with my friends and colleagues. So that was great. But there was two in particular that I really enjoyed. The one with Josiah Musamali and the other one with Dr. Serge Yumba. And what I really enjoyed about those was getting indigenous, authentic voices to speak about mission to their own people. And I thought that was really, really valuable. We spoke to Josiah about eternal security. And Josiah spoke with a huge deal of honesty that would have been difficult for somebody like me to speak about on the podcast, but he was very open about the issue and how to deal with it. And then Serge, what thrilled my heart. I mean, we recorded that podcast on the ground in Congo in conversation with Serge. He's a really busy guy. He's a surgeon. He's running different mission hospitals. And despite all of that, what I think he successfully communicated through that podcast was his passion and burden for the gospel to be at the heart of it all.
Yeah.
And that was a real highlight for me, sitting down, speaking to Serge and just seeing his passion for the gospel to be at the center of his mission.
Yeah. As well as I think about the UTG project as a whole, the thing that I like to see is like the video work. I think that there's a relatively new contributor in Buckeridge, and I think what he produces is fantastic, and the videos that him and Stephen Mullen are working on are great, and then also the video stuff that Stephen Mullen and Joel Hawthorne have done, those, it's a great resource. And those kind of one-on-one conversations where they're talking about the gospel, yeah, excellent, really. And we always knew that Stephen Mullen is a wonderfully creative person, and the way that he and Joel have set that up, and Joel's great on apologetics and being able to kind of, even they would talk about the fact how they've learned a lot and they're growing a lot in the way that they're understanding. I think that that's probably key for all of us at UTG. We recognize that what we want to do is not develop UTG in all these different paths. We actually just want to do what we're doing, but do it a lot better. And there's definitely ways that we can grow in that. And yeah, we're having to catch up quite quickly. But hopefully that's one of the things I'm looking forward to for this year, which is the fact that we will be more focused on being better at what we do.
So yeah, that does. You've done my segue for me, so you do more podcasts than I do. So what is, this is what I was going to ask you next, Alistair, what are your hopes and prayers for UTG in 2026? So you've just mentioned there you want to, the quality of what we're already doing to improve. And what else are you looking for in the coming year?
Yeah, we're working on a page, in a sense, that will mainly, I suppose, be of interest to Christians about how they can utilize UTG resources in their either their own personal witness or their own church evangelism. And it's just basically highlighting how others have utilized the UTG page, whether it's assemblies that have used it as a content page on the magazine that they produce in the handout in their area, or it's assemblies that are kind of automating their web page to connect to the UTG stuff. So there's lots of things like that. And so we're working on that. Hopefully that'll go live shortly. And my burden would be that more and more assemblies and churches would say that UTG's got some great resources. Let's just utilize this, because we want to produce this stuff so that people use it. We're not about building our brand. We would rather local churches who've got the connections in their local community, that they're the people that are known, and they're the people that that individuals need to get in contact with. We just want to be able to provide good resources for them.
Yeah. And so, Stephen told us that a few months ago as well. And it's clear, isn't it? We're not there to replace the church or be a pseudo church, but to give those resources that can be used by local churches and hopefully makes them effective or helps them to be effective in their evangelism. So that brings us then to what those resources are and different things that we can maybe expect coming up in 2026. So I thought we can maybe start by having a little bit of a chat and tease a few of the article series that we've got coming up in 2026. And I think the first one should be an interesting, or a couple of interesting ones. So we've got Church History with John Steeds and Early Christian Creeds with Justin Pratt. So what are you looking forward to about those?
Yeah, and maybe it's also helpful to highlight to begin with, why we're bothering doing articles, because it's like, well, things like podcasts and video is the big growth areas. Why are we still bothering writing articles? And the reality is that you need to have the robustness of articles that are well written, that are biblically based, and that are teaching truth. And we need, as Christians and as a Christian body, we need to be engaging with the scriptures. Christians are not going to grow unless they read and study the word of God. And so therefore articles are essential to kind of help in that. So that's why we continue to labor. And it is, for many people, a lot of work to produce the articles, but it's really important. So yeah, I know that John Steeds has got this series of articles on church truth, church history. And that is, I find it a very personally fascinating subject, church history, because sometimes it's when you can understand where you've come from, you can actually make more sense of the present. And that's true nationally as a country sometimes, but it's also true even within our own church culture. Why is it certain habits, traditions are formed? So understanding church history is very helpful. I just find it really fascinating. So I'm very excited to be reading John Steed's series. And I know he's well read.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
And I think that he'll do a great job with that.
Yeah. And then Justin's doing one kind of a similar idea on some of the early church creeds.
Yeah. See, this is also another interesting thing, which I don't think many believers are familiar with, unless you maybe read church history. But the creeds, I remember we even had a situation in our own assembly. We were communicating with the local parish church about a gospel effort, and they said, well, what kind of a church are you, and do you believe in the Nicene Creed? And there were some people that looked about and said, well, what's the Nicene Creed? And actually the Nicene Creed is all full of good gospel stuff, and being able to understand that is important. Justin's mind operates at a high level, much higher than mine does, but he communicates in a really lucid way that he's excellent.
I think it'll be a real, both of those will be really interesting because where we're coming from so often, sort of church history and creeds, like you say, they're kind of ignored. And that's probably not healthy, but neither are we saying that church history or creeds suddenly become level with or superior to scripture.
No.
But they can be a certain healthiness in some level of understanding of those things.
So, absolutely.
So what I'll be interested to see is what these guys have to say about how we should relate to that in 2026.
Mm. Yeah.
How should we, as believers who believe in the authority and sufficiency of scripture, how should we relate to church history and creeds in 2026? I think that would be a really interesting thing to think about. So what about some of the other things that we've got coming up, Alistair? We've got a Sermon on the Mount series that's continuing with Ian Jameson.
Yeah, Ian. Again, Ian is a very clever guy. And
Tell him you said that.
Well, the thing is that he's not just clever, but he's also a very good writer. Mm. And obviously he's had to write a lot for various different capacities. But yeah, and obviously he's a student of scripture, so giving us some good exposition of the Sermon on the Mount, very important, basis of the kingdom and how we understand the kingdom, which again, very relevant in the modern Christian world.
Yeah, absolutely. And then there's somebody called Alistair McPherson, got a series on future events.
Yeah, see, this is interesting in that we were, or had a burden to put forward a kind of a more of a basic dispensational book on future events. You kind of get a lot, like Dallas Seminary put out some fairly academic work, and there's lots of really good, but making it something that's accessible for young believers and dealing with a variety of things like covenant theology versus dispensationalism, why we believe in a rapture, why we believe in a pre-trib rapture, why we believe in a physical or an actual thousand-year millennium, and all those kind of things. And so that we worked with a number of different writers to put a book together called His Coming, which was published by Ritchie's. And all those articles are based on chapters in that book. And again, if people want, hopefully the articles will stimulate people to go and buy the book and read the book and get a much more thorough understanding of that subject.
That's really interesting, actually, because I was reading an article, I think it was today even, maybe even this morning, and it was speaking about the disconnect between sort of high-level theological dispensational things, like you were sort of talking about with Dallas Seminary, and then this idea, perhaps more in an American context, of pop dispensationalism. And there's kind of two ends of a spectrum. Mm. So something that maybe kind of bridges the gap a little bit between something that's kind of very academic and something that perhaps the man on the street would understand and sort of encouraging to go a bit deeper without going to the extremes or to the depths of sort of the seminary level. That could be really interesting.
Yeah. Well, what we can't forget is the fact when Paul was helping the assembly at Thessalonica get on its feet, he wasn't there for very long, but he covered issues to do with the future events because they were misunderstood, which is the reason why he wrote his first epistle. So the fact that it's an integral part of a church's formation and the formation of their doctrinal understanding, it shows how practical it is. Now, Christians today tend to go down the line of, but there's so much difference of opinion, so it's not fundamental to whether or not you're saved, therefore we can just leave it as a kind of an add-on. Like if you want to have a specialist class and you want to be super keen, then you look at prophecy, but that's not how Paul thought about biblical prophecy. And I think that when we consider the world that we're living in and all the chaos and uncertainty, I think to be able to have your faith grounded in the fact that there's a purpose that God is working out, which is not going to be thwarted by man, that's important.
Yeah, and so we look forward to you putting those series out there. It'll be great to read. Now, lastly, for now on articles, we also have a couple of things coming up Perhaps a bit more evangelically minded, specifically, mainly from Douglas Robertson. I spoke to Douglas on this podcast a couple of months ago. Really enjoyed speaking to Douglas. So he's got a couple of articles coming up. And what are they about, Alistair?
I think he's got one about, do all religions lead to God? So the whole issue of pluralism. Again, that's really important, because even in our religious age today, everybody is of all equal validity, and it's the truth is in the eye of the beholder. And yet that's not a biblical view. But that is even in so-called Christian circles, that would nearly be a kind of a default, that there is, well, we're just one of many roads. And well, the Lord Jesus didn't say that. He said that there is no man comes to the Father but by me. Yeah. So
it hits right at the heart of the gospel if you don't believe that.
Yes.
The exclusive claims of Christ, that is the gospel.
Yeah, you can't be saved.
Yeah.
To think that if you believe that the Lord Jesus is just one of many, many equally valid ways.
Yeah.
And of course, the other thing that Douglas is looking to write on is about the importance of the resurrection, and what are the evidences of a literal resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So again, essential bedrock of the Christian faith. You can't believe and be saved unless you believe in resurrection, which again, Paul's point when he wrote to the Corinthians. So yeah, all of the, anything that makes the Lord Jesus unique is going to be something that the devil will look to undermine. So therefore, an essential that these truths are front and center in our thinking.
Yeah. So let's move on then. We've already admitted we want to talk about podcasts more anyway. So let's get to podcasts. And we have a couple of series coming up in the first part of the year. So we'll be kicking off with a series on the fruit of the Spirit. So what can you tell us about that one?
Yeah, Joel Lacey recorded a series of podcasts with David Montgomery from Coventry. And talking about the different aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. And yeah, I'm interested to hear how David unpacks that, because I find the fruit of the Spirit and that teaching in Galatians intensely practical. And it helps define what is true spirituality, that any Christian from a variety of different kind of theological backgrounds will define spirituality and what is the zenith of Christian experience in different ways. I think in Galatians 5, you've got a very firm description of this is spiritual life. This is what spirituality looks like. So yeah, that I think will be really helpful.
And that ties into the next series, which I think we've got coming up on the subject of purity, which is one you're involved in, I think.
Yeah, again, Joel Lacey is going to host that series, and we're looking to think through the subject of purity. I suppose you're conscious that in the world that we live in, where there is such ready and open access for all Christians, but in particular young Christians, to things which are impure and corrupting, then it's important to maybe have an understanding. I think most would understand that Christians ought to flee from immorality. But how? Especially when there's such a pull, especially when it resonates with your flesh, especially when it's everybody around you is doing it and it doesn't seem to be bad and it's becoming normalized. How do you as a Christian stand and be pure in that kind of a context?
Yeah, I think that'll be a really interesting series, as again, because it's so relevant in the culture. You're saying, just all these different aspects and elements that there are in terms of the world and the standards that it has, and the fact that it can be so well hidden, and yet at the same time see people are so open about their immorality. It should be a really interesting series. And the final podcast series that we just wanted to ask you about, that we have planned for 2026, God willing, is another one that you're planning to do with Ian.
Yeah, I think that maybe March time we're looking to record it, but it kind of really flows out of the whole series on the quiet revival, because one of the things that highlighted is the fact that there's been an uptake in people going to churches like the Roman Catholic Church or the Greek Orthodox Church and those kind of places. And so we wanted to ask the question, is there things that they believe which are unbiblical? Is there aspects of their theology which doesn't align to scripture? Should people with an interest in the gospel be wary of getting their teaching from those churches? Now, obviously, it shouldn't be a surprise to listeners of this podcast that the answer to those is yes. I think there's a grave danger that just because people are more religiously minded and they're thinking, well, the Roman Catholic Church, that's certainly Hollywood's version of Christianity. And it's not coincidental that you can pretty much guarantee that if there's a, if there's going to be a portrayal of Christianity, it will involve a Roman Catholic version. And therefore, there is the importance of helping us think through, okay, well, are we all the same? Do we just do things slightly differently? Or is there a biblical difference that's important to understand?
Yeah, and there's a huge need for discernment.
Yes.
In those issues, discernment that stems out of scripture, discerning what scripture actually says into those issues. So it'll be good to hear you and Ian again and discuss some of those things.
Yeah. And hopefully it's not about bashing other people. And you recognize the fact that there are believers that are in the midst of those systems, but we want to eradicate the kind of personal aspect of it and just focus on what's the teaching and does the teaching accord to godliness or not.
Yeah, and I think it's also worth saying that we would encourage all our listeners to take that Berean attitude, like the Bereans in Acts 17, whether you're getting your content from UTG or anywhere else, test it against scripture and see if it stacks up.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that what our burden is that we're trying to help people think through what does the Bible actually say here and say, look, here's the reasons why we believe what we believe. And hopefully people say, yeah, okay, there's a robustness to their reasoning.
Yeah, absolutely. So the next area that we wanted to talk about, so we've talked about articles, we've talked about some of our podcasts, but one of the things that's kind of up and coming in 2026 is a lot more content from the Titus 2 team. So maybe you could just start by giving us a little bit of background about what that team does and who it's for.
Yeah, well, Titus 2, as the name suggests, is by women for women. And again, I suppose that was quite a groundbreaking kind of venture for us to have women writing, but some of our best writers are female. And we've got a recognition that it's part of a ministry that was there in the early church, that women ministered to women. And that's right, and it's appropriate. And you can see the wisdom of God in doing that. So having an online space where they can do that it makes a lot of sense, because you're just fulfilling what the instruction that Paul gave to Titus.
So there's a few things that are coming up, and my wife, Kerry, helps organize some of this schedule. So maybe I'll fill you in on a few things that are coming.
Yeah. And I think that we were really thankful for the fact that when the Titus 2 thing was rebooted, in a sense, that there were a number of sisters, Violet McClatchy, Elaine Martin, Sharon Grant, and Kerry Hamilton, Kerry Kay.
It's been a while.
I know, Kerry Kay. The four of them have really kind of really run with this, and I think are doing a fantastic job at leading that Titus 2 part of the project. And that's, I think, made a big difference.
Yeah. So one of the articles that's coming up soon is one called The Exodus Pattern, the series that's coming up by Naomi Pratt. And when Kerry talked through or just mentioned it to me, and the whole kind of pattern and the principle of those articles, it sounded really, really interesting. Taking that Exodus pattern and applying it into everyday life, I think is definitely something worth keeping an eye out for as that comes along in the next few months. The other things that they've got coming up, first of all, there's a Women of the Bible series. So that's actually started already. We started that in December. There was a couple of articles about Elizabeth and Mary, which were appropriate for Christmas time. And then there's a few others to come up, various women of the Bible that will be articles on various women of the Bible. And then the other similar thing, I suppose, is women of faith. Not that the women of the Bible weren't women of faith, but women of faith from more modern times. Mm. And I think that's an interesting series because a lot of the women that will be mentioned and talked about have probably had a whole lot written about them, whether it's Corrie ten Boom, where it's Helen Roosevelt, Elizabeth Elliot, these kinds of women. There's a plethora of information about them. But I think the real desire of that series is to kind of get beyond just writing another biography of the person and actually delve into some of the spiritual and biblical issues or the things that they faced in their life and kind of dig into that a little deeper rather than just necessarily the story of their lives, as interesting and beneficial as that could be. So,
yeah, no, that'd be really interesting because what you tend to find in history is that same issues repeat themselves, they just get repackaged. And therefore, kind of learning from the example of past generations and how they dealt with issues can be very instructive.
Yeah, I was actually a question that I'd noted down for you, just to ask you about this, was, is looking at examples of faith biblical, whether it is the examples of some of the women in the Bible or perhaps more recent women or men of faith, is that a biblical thing to do?
Well, the Hebrew writer would suggest it is. It's like whose faith follow.
Yeah.
And I think that everybody has, if you've ever taken the time to read a Christian biography, it's encouraging because actually you realize that some of the men or women that you read about, it wasn't all big lights and easy going. It was hard toil. And as the Hebrew writer points out in Hebrews 11, it's like, of whom the world was not worthy. And I think for us, there is that recognition that, yeah, we can often be isolated, discouraged, not maybe seeing much fruit for what we're doing. But then we're in good company. And that should, those biographies, those encouragements from past generations should encourage us to keep going.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not that we're not looking to Christ.
No.
You know, first and foremost, we are looking to Christ. But I'm reminded of what Paul said wrote to the Corinthians, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ.
Yeah.
So yes, first and foremost, we're looking to Christ and we're looking to follow him. But there are some great examples of faith that can be an encouragement and a help for us as we go through life. So the final thing just from the Titus 2 team, and I'm not entirely sure when this is going to come live, but it's definitely planned for this year, God willing, is a series on how to thrive, not just survive.
Oh, well.
So
that'll be something I'll need to list to read as well.
I think we'd all like to thrive a little bit more. Yeah. But that's an insightful look at some really everyday practical subjects and issues. So that will hopefully be coming out a little later in the year. Now, Alistair, I'm not entirely sure where our time is going, but we should probably move towards the end. And so there is one other thing that we hope to see coming from UTG this year, and that's something called the Gospel Journey. Now, we'll maybe have a couple of other guests later in the year, God willing, to talk about it in more detail, but maybe you can just give us a bit of an idea about what the Gospel Journey is all about.
Yeah, this is something I'm very excited about because when we think about people who want to engage with the gospel for the first time, we were conscious that you could very easily get lost on UTG because there's so much material, over 1,000 articles, and it's mixed in with content that's more suitable for believers. And then you've just got even on like a journey, like how would you go from one article to another? So that's where I suppose we kind of coined this idea of the gospel journey. And I know Lloyd Stock has been instrumental with others designing that and Stephen Grant writing some new content for that. And the idea is just to think through, okay, if somebody has no background with the gospel and you wanted to introduce them to the gospel to the point where they're ready to repent of their sin and believe the gospel, what do you need to communicate? And can we structure that in the way that of our website that kind of makes it easy to navigate? So that is what we're currently working on. And the whole way that it's been talked about when we meet up and discuss it, it sounds fantastic. And what I think will be really useful is that when we advertise UTG, whether it's like through the cards, the UTG business cards or whether it's even like a banner that somebody has for an open air pop-up stand, all of those kind of evangelical pointers will actually link back to this page, the gospel journey, so that people can start that journey from the beginning and they're not lost in everything else that's on the site. So yeah, I am really excited to see how that pans out. And I know that, I think that the target, and I'm always maybe a slightly foolhardy to state a target, but yeah, we want that ready for students as they start university in 2026 in September time. So that's the target date.
Not that you're putting any pressure on anybody.
No, well, I've said it now. So Stephen Grant needs to get himself sorted out. Stop frittering away his time and get on writing something.
Well, I'm sure he knows that you don't really mean it, but it sounds like a really exciting prospect to have something that's structured and to take people through the gospel, to bring them to a point where they perhaps know virtually nothing of the gospel at the start and take them through a series of things that explain the gospel to the point where they could repent and believe. Not that we think that we can bring them to that point in and of ourselves, of course. It's the work of the Spirit to actually bring about that conviction, but to give them that biblical gospel truth that the Spirit will bring them to conversion.
Yeah, no, we are entirely dependent on the Holy Spirit doing his work, but we've got to make sure we've done our work and we do it to the best of our ability. Paul says he was a wise master builder, so we need to be same.
Great. Well, that is a run through and of various different content that is planned from UTG in 2026, and I'm sure there will be plenty more to come as well. So we'd encourage our listeners to keep listening to the podcast, keep accessing the various different articles. And if there's something that we've talked about on this episode that's piqued your interest, then go and have a look at the UTG website. So thanks again for listening and join us again next time on the UTG Voices podcast.
Thank you.